This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program, contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidlandmi.gov/MCTV.
Local productions seen on Delta College Public Media are made possible with support from viewers like you. Thank you.
Welcome to Junior Doan's The Spark. I'm Junior Doan, and thank you for joining us. My guest today is Paul White. Paul's passion for pursuing life has led him to become an author, a syndicated columnist, and a serial entrepreneur. Welcome, Paul. Paul, you've had an early career in business and a later career in charitable, inspirational work with people. What did you learn in your business career?
Well, you know, I learned a lot of life lessons in my business career, and I was part of an incredible industry, the dry cleaning industry, which served our family extremely well for decades. It served my parents well, and it served our family well, as my wife and I have raised four sons. And you know, I learned a lot because I always had this curiosity about me. And I think I was born with a natural exuberance for life and just have always had a positive attitude from the time I was young. And, you know, people say, wow, you know, you always seem to be so positive. And I think to myself, well, wouldn't you want to be that way? I mean, consider the alternative. So, you know, it has really served me well. And I tend to see everything in life as a privilege. And I think that's why I experienced so much success in business, was because I saw it as a privilege to take care of other people's treasures, which was their clothes. When you think about someone's closet, if you go into their closet, think about the investment they've made. And they entrusted that investment to me, and to make their garments look like new. And so I always wanted to be the best at doing that, and always wanted to provide a very high level of service and quality. And I think that quest to be the best really served us well. And it was interesting because when the pandemic came around, the need for our services and the skill sets that all of our team had, there just wasn't a need for it anymore. People went home and were working from home, and so they weren't wearing clothes that needed our services, and it just made sense. And I wasn't upset nor mad at COVID or anything. I just right away accepted that it most likely will never be what it once was. And that came to fruition. At first it was like, oh, everyone's going to go back to the office, just be patient and wait. But it became clear that corporations and businesses were really good at adapting to having people work at home. Right now, I was at a conference recently where an individual said that Europe is almost 100% back to the office. And in analyzing that, it's easy to understand because people in Europe live in much smaller spaces than we do here in the United States. And when the pandemic hit, people living in the United States had this great opportunity to create workspace at home where they weren't interrupted by the dog or kids or whatever. They could take some space, and they enjoyed not having the commute anymore and everything. So it's really had a huge effect on the way business gets done. And the dry cleaning industry was just something, I mean, we were averaging 30% of the sales of our pre-pandemic sales. And that just wasn't enough to sustain the investment I had made in the business. And so we closed. And at the time of closing, I realized, you know, I need to shift gears here. I mean, I loved that the business allowed me to serve other people. And it also allowed my wife and I time to be involved and to volunteer at a lot of different organizations that we cared deeply about. And so I want to say we became volunteer experts almost, because it brought us so much joy. Helping other people brought us so much joy. And I remember near the end of 2020, everyone was saying, wow, 2020, worst year of my life. And I could have said that too. But in my mind, I was saying, what could I do so that I would look back on 2020 and say 2020 was the best year of my life? And the only way I could do that is if I did something I wouldn't have done had it not been for the challenges that occurred in 2020. And so I wrote a book, and I said, this book is going to be an investment that I make in attempting to help other people. And I wouldn't have written the book had things continued moving forward. And near that time, that year of 2021, I wrote the book and I started writing articles for the Midland Daily News. And then that spread to other papers. And right now I'm going from coast to coast and from Texas to Michigan. And I've got 23 publications that carry my weekly articles. And the articles follow the same theme as my book, which is, you know, the name of my book is The Answer Discovery, How to Change the World by Helping Others and Ourselves. And I've learned in life that one of the most effective ways to help ourselves is by helping others. And when we invest time in trying to make ourselves happy, we tend to experience little success, little consistent success over the course of time. We may be able to temporarily make ourselves happy, but it's when we focus on helping others that we find true lasting joy and happiness. And that's really the theme of my book. And I came up with a concept that is 9 individual stories that all the stories are tied together by a building called the Answer Discovery. And people enter this building with life challenges, and they're connected to another person that's already solved the challenge that they're attempting to solve. And the expectation is that once you solve the challenge that you have, or the problem, or the unhappiness that you're experiencing, and you're able to consistently solve it over time, then you will be asked someday to help someone else who's having a similar problem. And that's how it kind of self-perpetuates the system of helping others.
Do you think that being a positive person to begin with, that you maybe didn't need that boost of volunteerism, and the people who were not gifted with that optimism needed it more? Can you say something like that?
Well, I would suggest that when you volunteer and when you help other people, and you know, it's amazing. Have you ever been in a drive-through where someone in the car ahead pays for your order, and you get up there and typically it's like, wow, that was so incredible. Hey, I tell you what, I'm going to pay for the person behind me. And I've heard people that work there say that it's amazing how long that can keep going on. And that little random act of kindness brings so much joy. I mean, it's so simple. And I think that that's universal. You know, when we perform a random act of kindness, what happens, and this is the science behind it, we have a release of serotonin that occurs in our brain. And serotonin is the chemical that brings us joy and happiness. And science has shown that when you perform a random act of kindness, you have a release of serotonin. The person receiving the random act of kindness has a release of serotonin. And here's what's even neater. Anyone who witnesses the random act of kindness also has a release of serotonin. So for me, volunteering and helping other people brings me such incredible joy that I'm always looking for opportunities to do that. And it's amazing. I always remember my dad, when I was growing up, used to say, you know, if you go looking for trouble, you're going to find it. Well, I've come to realize that that exact same saying can be used. If you go looking for good, you're going to find it. If you're looking for things to be grateful for, you're going to find it. In one of my articles and in part of the book, I talk about the five things I'm thankful for. And I describe how when you go through the process of living the five things I'm thankful for every day, it gets frustrating because you can never use the same thing twice. So you have to go back through your day. And when you lay your head on your pillow at night and you have to sit there and kind of, you know, come up with these things that occurred that day. And, you know, it can get frustrating if you wait until the end of the day. And I instituted a rule of, hey, I want to get those five things by noon every day. And so from the moment I woke up, I was looking for things to be thankful for. And I would find them. And I started seeing, like, people, the crossing guards who help our kids get across the street safely for school. It's like, they're the most incredible people in the world. I'm so grateful for them. I'm just blown away by the role that they play in our society and stuff. And that brought me joy.
Many people see not nice things happen. Do you have any recommendations, or what do you do when you see some of these things?
I think we need to manage that. You know, you talk about things like road rage, or, you know, I realized after the pandemic that all of us just wanted to be treated nicely. We craved being treated nicely. And if we went somewhere and someone wasn't treating us as nice as we hoped for, or something, or we saw something negative, I came to realize, first of all, it was my curiosity that would say, what happened in your life that led you to that? Something did. How did you get to this point right now? And then I would follow that with compassion. It's like, you know, I'm so sorry. I probably can't relate to what happened in your life to get you to this point, but it's a sad point. And I would realize that even if I wasn't being treated the way I wanted to be treated, I could always turn around and be respectful and treat that person with kindness. And, you know, there's a lot of power in kindness. When you really think about it, kindness can do so many things. And
my grandmother used to say it was the most, yeah. Well, I said, what was really important in life? And she said, kindness. So every generation has to find itself ending up somewhat in the same place. But you're an entrepreneur, and it's easy for you to meet the public. But if someone wanted to follow your recommendations and they were afraid or they didn't have that kind of self-confidence, what would you suggest to them?
Practice. It's funny, if you sit there and say, you know, today I'm going to practice being kind to everyone I encounter, you end up finding your way. I talk about this in the first chapter of my book, and I talk about the subconscious and our conscious mind. And what happens is I use the example of tying your shoes. When you're first learning to tie the shoes, you're taught to take one lace in each hand, cross the laces, and then put one through that little hole that's created down at the bottom, and then you pull that tight and you make the loop and on and on and on. And as you're learning to tie your shoes, you go through that same process over and over until one day you can tie your shoes without even having to think about it, which means your subconscious mind can tie the shoes and you can utilize your conscious mind to think about something else. And what you've done is you've made it a habit. So how often do we practice making kindness a habit? How often do we practice volunteering, making it as a habit, helping others as a habit, as a routine, so that it becomes a natural part of our character? I love this plaque we have in our house, and it says, thoughts become words, words become actions, actions become character, and character is everything. And it's funny, I just noticed I'm gonna try to write an article about it. Here's an old book written in 1979, I think it was, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I still refer to this book all the time. I love it. And if you open it up, right down at the very cover, it says, restoring the character ethic. Restoring the character ethic. And I think we've gotten away from that a little bit. And I'm very curious about the different ways that I can be helpful in restoring the character ethic for people and have people start thinking about, describe your character to me. Put down on a sheet of paper what's important to you and how you would describe your character. We just don't think about those things very often. But when we do, wow, is that ever powerful? I just finished an article this morning that'll be in October's, published in October, about reading. And did you know that 79% of the people in the U.S. are literate? That means 21% aren't. But have you ever thought of the ability to read as a gift? And you know, have you unwrapped that gift in your life and put it into use? The ability to read is huge. I mean, think of all the people that make a difference in the world and you know, all the scientists and the influencers and the leaders and stuff. They read a ton. Most of what people read these days is on social media. And I don't know that that's moving them forward and making the best use of what reading can offer their life. I think it's such a great gift. And so I'm trying to encourage people to utilize the gift that they possess, if they're one of the 79% that are literate, to make the most of themselves.
What do you think's made them not the most, but almost the most impact on your life, like your wife? You know, the people who you learn from and you could trust to comment favorably or unfavorably?
Yeah, so obviously my wife has had a huge impact on who I am and who my character is. And you know, the gift of parenting has been huge. As we attempted to raise our kids, directed at the person they would be when they were 35 years old. And I always figured by the age of 35, they'll have had some opportunities to fail you know, have to pick themselves back up and stuff. And who they are at age 35 is truly who they were meant to be. So I've looked at that, but you know, I've always been enamored by successful people. And when I say successful, I don't just mean business or financially or anything. I mean people that make a difference in the world. And so I've been very motivated to try to spend time around people that I admire. And there's a lot of different reasons
just,
that I admire.
Paul, going back to your comment about you treated your kids as if they were the people they were going to be at 35. For the audience, would you give us a couple examples of that?
Yes, I sure can. In fact, I just gave a speech recently and I talked about the 12 core values of scouting. So we have four sons. All four sons are Eagle Scouts. And when we were raising them, you know, they all participated in athletics, but athletics are great. We support athletics and stuff, but it's limited in the lessons. Scouts offered an opportunity to fail and try again until you were successful. That is a wonderful life skill to share. And the only person you were competing against was yourself. So Scouts provided us a great opportunity to form the character. And the 12 core values, I mean, they're all so powerful that I wanted those values for my own life. And my wife was the same. And it's like, who wouldn't want to have those values be a part of the character that they are? And I utilized them with our team at work. You know, I felt like we had one of the most successful cultures at our place of business because the people that I worked with were excited each day as they were driving to work about the day ahead, and they drove home knowing they made a difference in the lives of others that day. And so, you know, it was just such a powerful thing utilizing Scouts. And then I think our faith, you know, Kim and I have utilized our faith as a foundation that we gave to our kids. And what that did was it made them, instead of being self-reliant and you know, if they failed, not having anything to turn to, their faith gave them the opportunity that if there's a crisis in your life, you have a place to turn to, a person or an entity or whatever that is bigger than you. And I think those two things, you know, from a parenting standpoint, providing our kids with a foundation of faith and those 12 core values. And, you know, when you look at school, the goal for us, I, you know, Kim and I never cared about the exact grade that they brought home. We would always ask them one question: did you do your best? And if they said yes, we were okay with that, regardless of what the grade was. And we quickly found out, you know, when they might say, yeah, I did my best. No, you didn't. We know you better than that. Come on. Let's be honest about this. So always doing your best was critically important. And I think those were some things that can work well for all of us in this world.
You talk a lot about modeling for yourself, for others, and the role of the effectiveness of modeling and the right approach to modeling. Who were your children's models? What music did they listen to?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And one of the things I would suggest is that we became huge benefactors of the work that the Legacy Center for Community Success had done. And they showed through all of the studies they did that we lose our kids in sixth grade. And what occurred in sixth grade is that the main influence in our kids' life went from parents and other adults to peer group. And we became very conscious of the peer group that our kids were developing from sixth grade through high school. And so much so that we also became very aware of our own peer group. And in many of my speeches, I've talked about, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time around. Have you ever put thought into who those five people are? Because whatever they do, most likely you do. If they smoke, you smoke. If they bowl, you bowl. If they do drugs, you're going to do drugs. If they're doing some great things, most likely you're going to do some great things. So that peer group is such an important piece to all of this, not just for our kids, but for us as adults. And so I really feel like, who do they look up to? We had them look up to people that we had identified as people of high character, people with good ethics, people. And Junior, I'm not saying we're perfect. In fact, I'm the farthest thing from perfect. If anything, I provide people a wonderful example of not being any better than anyone else and not being special, but having a heart that always tries to do my best and a curiosity that leads me to want to know why. And that was one of the big things we always did with our kids, is that we always explained to them the why behind what we wanted them to do and what the purpose was. And I think when kids understand the why, and even in our own lives, when we understand the why, it's just like volunteering. And it's just like what I try to point out in my book. You know, when you understand the why, you're inspired to do things you may not have done otherwise. You know, people say, oh, you're a motivational speaker. Well, I prefer to be called inspirational, because the reality is only we can motivate ourselves. And I like to inspire people to motivate themselves to improve, to change. And that's why I have a call to action in all of my articles. I always finish with a call to action. It's like, look, if you read this thing, it's not going to do anyone any good unless you actually think about this new perspective I've offered and then take action on it.
And what inspires people, Paul?
What inspires people?
Yeah.
I think it's the same thing that inspires me. When someone explains something to me in a way that is logical and makes sense and can create good, I think we're inspired by that. I think when we look at someone else who experiences consistent joy and happiness in their life, we're inspired by that. I mean, I look at a lot of different people that I admire, and I think I want to be like that.
I have to cut you off because we're almost out of time. So I'm thanking you. We learned a lot. Persistence, let your values be good for your children like Eagle Scouts. Take the high road, take the happy road, do for others, and live life with optimism. Thank you so very much for being a part of it. I close every program with, do something kind for someone you know and someone you don't know, and do it again and again every day going forward. Thank you again.
To contact Junia, send her an email at juniadonesthespark@gmail.com. For more information, program schedules, and news about future guests, go to www.juniadonethespark.com. Thank you for joining us. See you next time on Junia Dones The Spark.
Local productions seen on Delta College Public Media are made possible with support from viewers like you. Thank you.
This program is presented by a community producer through Midland Community Television. The City of Midland and MCTV are not responsible for the content of the program. The views presented do not necessarily represent those of the City of Midland or MCTV. If you would like to produce your own program, contact MCTV at 837-3474 or access our website, cityofmidlandmi.gov/MCTV. We hope you enjoy the following presentation.